Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, brethren.
Oh, Abraham would raise his hands, and on this very day, and for his children left the promised land in search of their own way. They kick and scream like wayward sons, and always wanting to sleep. Dream away these evil days in hopes that God can see.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, yet again doing a podcast special, the reading of the Lost Book of Enki. Where we left off was on episode 3, where we basically broke down, tablet 3, where we broke down the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest. And this one we're going to get into a little bit more heavier stuff. We're going to do the synopsis of the fourth tablet. First thing I want to just say is if you're liking the readings that I'm doing, let me know. Hit me up, Instagram, write it on the podcast page. I won't be able to read it, but the boys will be able to do it. I'm going to read this the last episode that we did last night with Worship Brother Joe and Worship Brother Ken. I got my ass kicked, so it's kind of nice to be doing an episode where I'm not getting freaking my ass chewed out. But either way, let me know what you guys think of this. If you guys can Apple review it, give me a 5-star review if you like it. 5-star rating if you like it, and write a little review. Let me know. Say, hey, kind of like the Yankee shit. If you don't be that guy. Don't hit me with a 1-star review. Man, that sucks. It hurts. Hurts my ratings. It hurts our ability to get the podcast out to other stuff. I mean, even if you don't like what I'm saying with the Yankee stuff, tune into the other episodes. But let's get into the synopsis of the fourth tablet. The Nibiruans hail even the small gold delivery. Test of gold's use in the atmospheric shield succeed. Additional heroes and new equipment are sent to Earth. Gold extraction from the waters continues to disappoint. Ea discovers gold sources that need deep mining in the Abzu. And Lil, then Anu, come to Earth for crucial decisions. As the half-brothers quarrel, lots decide the tasks. Ea, renamed Enki, Earth's master, goes to the Abzu, and Lil stays to develop permanent facilities in the Eden. Interesting. As Anu prepares to leave, he is attacked by Alalu. The seven who judge sentence Alalu to exile on Lamu, which is Mars. Anu's daughter Ninma, the medical officer, is sent to Earth, stopping off at Lamu, Mars. She finds Alalu dead. A rock carved to resemble Alalu's face serves as his tomb. Anzu is given command of the way station on Lamu. So let's get into it. To Nibiru, words of the ascent were beamed. On Nibiru, there was much expecting. With confidence was Abgal, the chariot, guiding. Around Kingu, the moon, he made a circuit by its net powers, speed to gain. 1,000 leagues, 10,000 leagues toward Lamu he journeyed, but its net power a direction toward Nibiru to obtain. Beyond Lamu, the hammered bracelet was a whirling. Deftly did Abgal Ea's crystals made a glow and open paths to locate. The eye of fate upon him with favor looked. In other words, the crystals that were in this sky chariot, whatever they're calling it, it made the hole in the hammered bracelet or the asteroid belt, made it favorable. He can get through. Beyond the bracelet, the chariot beam signals from Nibiru was receiving. Homeward was the direction. Ahead in the darkness, a reddish hue glowed Nibiru, a sight to behold it was. By the beam, signals the chariot now directed. Thrice around Nibiru it made its circuits by its net force to be slowed. So they were going around Nibiru to slow the hell down. Nearing the planet, the breach in its atmosphere Abgal could see. A squeezing in his heart he felt of the gold that was bringing he was thinking. Passing through the atmosphere's thickness, aglow was the chariot, its heat overbearing. Deftly did Abgal spread the chariot's wings, its ascended thereby arresting. Beyond lay the place of the chariots, a sight most inviting. Gently did Abgal the chariots bring down to the place by the beams selected. He opened the hatch, a multitude of populace was there assembled. Anu toward him stepped forward, locked arms, warm greetings uttered. Heroes into the chariot rushed, the gold-bearing baskets they brought out. High above their heads they the baskets held. To the assembled, words of victory Anu shouted. Salvation is here, to them he was saying. To the place was Abgal accompanied, to rest until all he was escorted. The gold, a sight most dazzling, by the savants was quickly taken, to make of the finest dust, to skyward launch it was hauled away. Ashar did the fashioning last, so 3,600 years. Ashar did the testing continue. With rockets was the dust heavenly carried, by crystals' beams it was dispersed. Where there was a breach, now there was healing. So they're actually shooting this gold into the sky, and it's closing up their atmosphere. That's pretty cool. I would love to know what the science of that is. I think there's actually a gold that's a powdered gold, or you can crush gold down to a powder, and it does pretty much the same thing. But I'd love for a scientist to be able to confirm or deny that. Joy the palace filled. Abundance in the land was expected. To earth Anu good words was beaming. Gold gives salvation. The obtaining of gold do continue. When Nibiru near the sun came, the gold dust by its rays was disturbed. The healing in the atmosphere was dwindled. The breach to bigness returned. Ah, so the sun is burning off all the damn gold. Interesting. Anu, the return of Abgal to earth and commanded, in the chariot more heroes traveled. In its bowels, that which the water sucks in and thrusts out were provided. Again, that's all capitalized. With them, Nungal to travel was commanded, a pilot helper to Abgal to become. So Nungal was to be his co-pilot. Great joy there was when Abgal to Eridu returned. Many greetings and locking of arms there was. So now he's back on Earth. The new water workings Ea with care contemplated. There was smiling on his face. In his heart there was a squeezing. By Shar time, Nungal in the chariot was to depart ready. In its bowels the chariot only a few baskets of gold carried. The disappointment on Nibiru, Ea's heart to him was predicting. Ea with Alalu, words exchanged. That which they know, they reconsidered. If Earth, the head of Tiamat, was in the celestial battle cut off, where was the neck? Where was the golden veins cut asunder? Where were the golden veins from Earth's innards protruding? In the sky chamber, Ea over mountains and valleys traveled. Now this is interesting because they're saying, they're calling one the celestial chariots, and then they're calling these, whatever these are. So this is a different type of, I guess you could say, ship, if you will. They're calling them sky chambers. So my assumption would be much similar to our space aircraft. We have aircraft that just flies in the sky. So I'm assuming that there's a difference between the two. Over the mountains and valleys traveled. The lands by ocean separated. He with the scanner, and again, that's capitalized, examined. Again and again, there was the same indication. Where dry land from dry land depart was torn, Earth's innards were revealed. Where the landmass of shape of a heart was given in the lower part thereof. Where the landmass, the shape of a heart was given. In the lower parts thereof. I wonder what part of the Earth they're talking about there. Golden veins from Earth's innards were abundant. Abzu, of gold, the birthplace. Again, that's capitalized, so that's what Abzu means. Ea to the region gave, name gave. Ea then to Anu words of wisdom beamed. With gold, earth indeed is filled. From the veins, not from the waters, the gold must be gotten. From earth's bowels, not from its waters, must the gold be obtained. From a region beyond the ocean, Abzu, it shall be called, in an abundance of gold begotten. In the place where there was great astonishment, savants and counselors to Ea words gave consideration, that gold must be attained. On that unanimity there was. Unanimity there was. In other words, it was unanimous. I don't know why I didn't just say that. Again, it's like reading a book from a fucking fifth grader. How to obtain it from the bowels of the earth, of that was much discussion. In the assembly, a prince spoke up, Enlil he was, the half-brother of Ea. First Alalu, then his son by marriage, Ea, upon the waters placed all hope of salvation by waters, gold they were reassuring. Shar after shar, all of us salvation were expecting. Now different words we are hearing, a task beyond imagining to undertake. Proof of the golden veins is needed. A plan for success must be ensured. So was Enlil to the assembly saying. To his words, many in agreement listened. Let Enlil go to earth, Anu was saying. Let him proof obtain, a plan put forward. His words shall be heeded. His words a command shall be. In unanimity, the assembly to its consent gave, and Lil's mission to approve. All right. So let me just real quick here. And this is interesting in regards to the Bible. If you read in the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament, God was a punishing God. And he, you know, if you fucked up, you know, God would punish you, and he punished this person, he punished that person. And then if you read in the New Testament, it talks about, oh, God's all loving. God's all caring. God's here. He's there. And it's almost, if you think about it, like two different gods. I find that interesting because, you know, Enki, to me, seems like he's your good dude. He's your good guy, right? He's, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's come up with some ideas. He seems very personable. And now here's this prick Enlil coming up saying, he said we were going to get it out of the freaking waters, and now he can't. So let me go down there and let me go crack some freaking heads, right? That's what it sounds like to me. With Alagal, his chief lieutenant, Enlil for Earth departed. Alagal was his pilot. With each sky chamber were the two of them provided. To Earth, the words of Anu, the king, words of decisions were beamed. And Enlil of the mission in command shall be, his word shall be the command. When Enlil to earth arrived, Ea with his half-brother warmly locked arms. As brother meets brother, Ea and Enlil did welcome. To Alalu, Enlil made a bowing. Alalu with weak words him bade welcome. So Alalu was like, oh great, none of these assholes is here. The heroes to Enlil words of warm welcome were shouting. Of the commander, much they were expecting. Deftly Enlil, the sky chambers to be assembled did command. In his sky chamber, he went a-soaring. Alagal, his chief lieutenant, was as the pilot with him. Ea, in a sky chamber, by Abgal piloted, to them to the Abzu showed the way. They surveyed the dry lands of the oceans, they took careful notice. From the upper sea to the lower sea, the lands they scanned. Upper sea to the lower sea. Interesting. Of all that was above and all that was below, they took account. In the Abzu, the soil they tested. Gold was there indeed. With much soil and rocks, it was commixed. Refined as in the waters, it was not. In the admixture, it was hiding. In other words, it's not pure gold. They went back to Eridu. What they had found, they had contemplated. And Eridu, new tasks must be given. Alone on earth, it cannot continue. Thus was Enlil saying, a great plan he described, a wide mission he was proposing. More heroes to bring over, more settlements to establish, the gold from Earth's innards to obtain, the gold from admixture to separate. By so they got to purify it, they got to, what are they got to do? The smelting, I guess. By skyships, the chariots to be carried from landing places tasked to perform. Who of the settlements in charge will be? Who of the Abzu shall take command? Thus Ea of Enlil was asking. Who of enlarged Eridu shall take command? Who the settlements should oversee? Thus Alalu is saying. So it's three guys basically right now. You got Alalu who originally landed there. You got Enki, or who is Ea at this point still, is, I guess, second in command. And you have Enlil who's the boss at the moment. Who of the skyships in the landing place shall take command? Did Anzu inquire? So Anzu is another player in the game here. Let Anu come to Earth. Let him decisions provide. Thus did Enlil say in answer. Now this is the account of how Anu to Earth came. Excuse me. How lots with Ea and Enlil were drawn. How Ea, the title name Enki, was given. How Alalu for a second time with Anu wrestled. So this is the second battle. Because you could say like a presidential debate, a second term, except they beat the... You know what? I would have loved to have seen that last night when Biden and Trump... I wouldn't see them naked wrestling, but I would love to see them just throttling the shit out of one another up there. It would have been so much more of a story. That's why I'm enjoying this. How Alalu for the second time with Anu wrestled. To Earth and Celestial Chariot did a new journey. The route by the planets to follow. Around Lamu, Nungal, the pilot, a circuit made... By Anu, it was closely observed. The moon, the one who Kingu once had been, they circled and admired. Perchance gold thereon can also be found, in his heart Anu was wondering. Or just thinking maybe the moon's got freaking gold. In the waters besides the marshlands, his chariot splashed down. And this is on Earth, not obviously on the moon. Ea for the arrival reed boats prepared, for Anu to arrive by sailing. Above the sky chambers were hovering, a royal welcome they were offering. In the lead boat, Ea himself was afloat, the king his father the first to be greeted. Before Anu he bowed, then Anu embraced him. My son, my firstborn, Anu had to him shouted. In the square of Eridu, in rows stood the heroes, their king to earth royally to welcome. In front of them stood Enlil, their commander. Before Anu, the king, he bowed. Anu him to chest embraced. Alalu, too, was there standing. Of what to do, he was uncertain. Because, yeah, he was basically, you know, the king at one point, and this guy whooped his ass, and now he doesn't know how to act. And plus, he thinks that, you know, Anu wants to kill him. I was kind of like, what do? I shake his hand? Do I kick him in the nuts? What do I do? Anu to him a greeting extended. Let us lock arms as comrades to Alalu, he said. With hesitation, Alalu stepped forward. With Anu, he locked arms. So, all right, they're being cordial. A meal for Anu was prepared. By eventime to a reed hut for him by Ea built, Anu retired. The next day, the seventh day by count begun by Ea, was a day of resting. A day of backslapping and celebrating it was, as befits a king's coming. There you go. There's your seventh day of rest. On the day that followed, Ea and Enlil before Anu the findings presented, what was done and what doing needed with him they discussed. Let me see the lands by myself, Anu to them was saying. Aloft they all in the sky chambers went, lands from sea to sea they observed. To the Abzu they flew, on its gold-hiding soil they landed. Difficult will the gold extractions be, Anu was saying. To obtain the gold it is necessary. No matter how deep the gold is below the surface, it must be gotten. Let Ea and Enlil tools for the purpose devise. Let them heroes for their task assign. Let them find how gold from soil and rock separates, How to Nibiru, pure gold to deliver. Let a landing place be built. Let more heroes to the task on earth be assigned. So was Anu to the two suns saying. In his heart, of way stations in the heavens, he was thinking. So he wants to put kind of like a intermediary base in a sense. Those were the commands, words of Anu. Ea and Enlil in agreement, their heads were bowing. There were evenings and there were mornings. To Eridu, they all returned. In Eridu, they held a council, task and duties to assign. Ea, who Eridu established, was first to speak up. Eridu, I have established. Let other settlements in this region be set up. Let it the Eden be. And again, E-D-I-N, Eden. Interesting. And it means, in Sumerian, abode of the upright ones, by its name be known. The commander of the Eden, let me be, let Enlil the gold extraction perform. By these words, Enlil was angered. There we go. There's the angry god. The plan is wrathful to Anu, he said. Of commanding and tasks to perform, I am the better. Of skyships, I have knowledge. Of the earth and its secrets, my half-brother, Ea, is the knower. The Abzu he discovered, let him of the Abzu be the master. Yeah, there you go. So there's Enlil trying to kick him the fuck out because he doesn't want him to have a better control over things. Again, Enlil's trying to seize command here. Anu, to the angry words, with a careful ear listened. The brothers were again half-brothers. The firstborn with the legal heir, with words as weapons, were contending. So they're basically talking shit to each other. Ea was the firstborn by a concubine to Anu he was born. And Lil, thereafter born, by Antu, Anu's spouse, was conceived. So basically, Ea's mother was Ahua, and Lil was actually the firstborn of his spouse. So Enlil is the legal heir. A half-sister of Anu, she was, thereby Enlil and the legal heir making. Yeah, exactly what I said. And there you get your monarchies of the of Europe with their inbreeding because they wanted to keep the royal bloodline in the family, and they didn't realize that we as humans are not set up for that, and you make freaking monsters. But apparently with them, it doesn't play effect. So that's where, if you want to surmise, that's where humans got that learned trait from. Keep it in the family. Because Enlil was born to Anu and Antu. And Antu was the half-sister of Anu. And so they kept them in the family. Thereby the next-born son for the succession, the firstborn overcoming. A conflict that the obtainment of gold would endanger Anu was fearing. One of the brothers to Nibiru must return. The succession from considering how must now be removed. So was Anu to himself thinking. Aloud to the two, a startling suggestion he made. Who to Anu for the throne's seat shall return? Who the Eden shall command? Who the Abzu shall be the master? Let us three, I with you, by lots determine. So, Anu is basically saying, well, Enlil is really supposed to take the throne in Nibiru. But what we're going to do is we're going to basically draw straws and we're going to figure out who goes where. Whether it's going to be Anu goes back to Nibiru or Enlil or Enki or who goes where. Silent were the brothers. The audacious words by surprise them overtook. Let us draw lots, Anu said. By the half hand of fate, let there be a decision. The three, father and two sons, clasped their hands together. They cast lots by the lots, the tasks they divided. Anu to Nibiru to return, its ruler on the throne to remain. So Anu's going back to Nibiru. The Eden to Enlil was allotted to be the lord of the command, as his name indicated. More settlements to establish of the sky ships and their heroes charged to take. Of all the lands until they are bar of the seas encounter, the leader to be. So, and Lil runs the damn show. He's in command. So from sea to shining sea, all over the world, he's in command. To Ea, the seas and the oceans and his domain were granted. Lent off. So he got the frickin' water. What the hell's he gonna do with that? Lands beyond the bar of the waters by him to be governed, in the Abzu to be the master, with ingenuity the gold to procure. And Lil with the lots was agreeable. The hand, of course he was, got what the hell he wanted. The hand of fate he with the bow accepted, with a bow, excuse me, accepted. Ea's eyes filled with tears of Eridu in the Ian he wished not to be parted. Let Ea forever Eridu as his home retain, Anu, Tuin, and Lil was saying. So Ea was able to keep Eridu, but he didn't get the Eden. Or Eden. Let this be the first to splash down forever be remembered. Let Ea as Earth's master be known. Enki, Earth's master, let his title be. And there you go. His father... words and Lil with a bow accepted. To his brother he thus said, Enki, Earth's master, your title name shall henceforth be. I, Lord of the Command, shall be known. Yeah, of course you had to put your own shit back in there, you pretentious bastard. Rather than just being happy for your brother, be like, oh, I'm Lord of the Command. It's a freaking dick swinging contest here at this point. To the heroes in assembly, Anu, Enki, and Lil, the decisions announced. Again, I've read this before, but and as I continue to read it, you guys will hear how much I dislike and Lil. The tasks are assigned. Success is in the offing. Anu to them was saying, now farewell, I can bid you. To Nibiru with quiet heart I can return. Forward toward Anu, Alalu stepped. A grave matter has been forgotten, he shouted. Here we go. Alalu is going to step up and say, hey, who the hell are you? The mastery of Earth to me was allotted. That was the promise when the gold findings to Nibiru I announced. Nor have I the claim to Nibiru's throne forsaken by Anu to share with all his sons. It is a grave abomination. And he's right. Alalu is pissed off because he originally was supposed to be the commander of Earth. And then Enki showed up and took command. And now Enlil is in command. And the whole thing was that we're gonna wrestle this shit out, and we're gonna figure who's gonna be the king of Earth and Heaven. Without words was Anu in the beginning. Then with anger he spoke up. By a second wrestling, let our dispute be decided. Let us wrestle. Let us the wrestling do here. Let us do it now. With disdain, Alalu took off his clothing. Likewise did Anu unrobe. In nakedness did the two royals begin to grapple. A mighty struggle it was. There you go. Greek wrestling. This is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. Pay attention. Alalu bent his knee to the ground. Alalu fell. Anu on the chest of Alalu, with his foot pressed down, victory in wrestling, thereby declaring. So he had him on the ground with his foot on his chest. Kind of a dick thing to do. I mean, you beat him, and you don't got to gloat about it. And then he says, by wrestling, the decision was made. I am the king. To Nibiru, Alalu shall not return. So was Anu saying as he removed his foot from the fallen Alalu. Up as a lightning, Alalu from the ground arose. By the legs, Anu he pulled down. His mouth wide open, swiftly, he the malehood of Anu bit off. Ugh! The malehood of Anu did Alalu swallow. Oh, my lord. He bit his dick off. Oh, Jesus. Ugh. Now, all joking aside, if you want to go into Egyptian mythology, I think it was... somebody's dick was bit off and given to a fish. Interesting. So, it's a little bit of a layover of Egyptian mythology. In pain, agony did Anu cry to the heaven. Yeah, I'd be crying too. To the heaven shout, to the ground wounded he fell. Enki to the fallen Anu rushed, and Lil the laughing Alalu captive hell. Oh, he's laughing his ass off. I wouldn't be laughing if I bit a dude's penis off. That's disgusting. Blech. whatever, moving on. Heroes, anew to his hut carried, words of a cursation against Alalu he uttered. Yeah, he's motherfucking him. I'd be doing the same. Let justice be done, and Lil to his lieutenant shouted, with your beam weapon, let Alalu be killed. No, no, Enki fiercely shouted. Justice is within him. In his innards, poison has entered. Interesting. So they got some... They had some super sperm or something. Yeah, apparently it's going to make him sick. Interesting. They took Alalu to the reed hut, his hands and feet as a prisoner they bound. Now, this is the account of the judging of Alalu and of the happenings thereafter on Earth in Lahamu. Lahamu is Venus. Lamu is Mars. In his reed hut, Anu was hurting. In the reed hut to him, Enki applied the healing. In his reed hut, Alalu was sitting. Spittle he spat from his mouth. In his innards, the malehood of Anu was like a burden. With Anu's semen were his innards impregnated. What? So, like a female in travail, his belly grew swollen. Interesting. I would love to see their freaking anatomy. That's some crazy shit. And again, if this book pans out the way that they describe, you're going to learn that we are from the Anunnaki, or we have their DNA in a sense in us, but we also have the DNA of primitive apes, and we'll get into that later tablets. But let's continue on. Apparently, these Anunnaki have the ability to, I guess, impregnate men or females. Interesting. On the third day, Anu's pain subsided. His pride was greatly hurting. Yeah, you got your Johnson cut bit off. To Nibiru, I wish to return. To his two sons did Anu say. Beforehand, upon Alalu, there must be a judgment. A sentence the crime befitting must be imposed. By the laws of Nibiru, seven judges were required, the highest of the rank of them to preside. In the square of Eridu, the heroes were assembled, the trial of Alalu to observe. For the seven who judge, again, interesting number, seven seats were provided. For Anu presiding, the tallest seat was prepared. Well, there's your Masonic Lodge. To his right, Enki was seated, and Lil was seated on Anu's left. Interesting tie to Templary, because you're primary officers on the dais are your eminent commander, your generalissimo, and your captain general, and all seated identical. Again, I try to make a Masonic, doesn't mean it's true, but I do find some interesting Masonic inanations into this. But continuing on, before the seven who judge, Alalu was brought, his hands and feet were untied, and Lil was first to speak. In fairness, a wrestling match was held. Alalu the kingship to Anu forfeited. What say you, Alalu? Enki him this question asked. In fairness, the wrestling match was held. The kingship I forfeited, Alalu said. Having been vanquished, Alalu an abominable crime performed. The malehood of Anu he bit and swallowed. Thus did Enlil the accusation of the crime make. Death is the punishment, Enlil was saying. What say you, Alalu? Enki to his father by marriage asked. There was silence. Alalu the question did not answer. We all the crimes did witness, Algar was saying. Judgment must be in accordance. If words you wish to utter, speak before the judging. Enki to Alalu said. In the silence, Alalu slowly began to speak. On Nibiru, I was king. By right of succession, I was reigning. Anu was my cupbearer. The princes he aroused to the wrestling for me he challenged. For nine counted circuits, I was king on Nibiru. To my seed, kingship was belong. On my throne, Anu himself sat. To escape death to distant earth, I made a dangerous journey. Salvation for Nibiru, I, Alalu, on the alien planet discovered. Return to Nibiru I was promised, in fairness the throne to regain. Then to Earth came Ea, the one by compromise, the next to reign, Nibiru was designated. Then came Enlil, the succession from Anu to himself claiming. Then Anu came, by lots he tricked Ea. Enki, the lord of earth, he was proclaimed. Of earth, not of Nibiru, to be master. Then to Enlil command was granted. Enki to the distant Abzu was delegated. My heart of all that was aching. My chest from shame and anger was bursting. Then Anu, his foot upon my chest placed, upon my aching heart was treading. Yeah, I said that, but it might piss him off. In the silence, Anu spoke up. By royal seed and law, by fair wrestling, did I gain the throne. My malehood you bit off and swallowed. My offspring line to discontinue. And Lil spoke up. To the crime, the accused admitted. Let the judgment come. Let death be the punishment. Death, said Alagar. Death, said Abgal. Death, said Nungal. Death to Alalu by itself will be coming. What he had swallowed in his innards, death will bring, Enki was saying. Let Alalu for the rest of his days and earth be in prison, Anzu was saying. Their words Anu was contemplating. Anger and pity both him engulfed. To die in exile, let this be the judgment, Anu was saying. In amazement, the judges at each other glanced. What Anu was saying, they wondered. Neither on earth nor on Nibiru shall exiling be, Anu was saying. On the way there is Lamu planet. With waters and atmosphere it is endowed. Enki, as Ea, thereon made a pause. Of it as a way station shall I have been thinking. Its net force is less than Earth's, an advantage in wisdom to be considered. In a celestial chariot, Alalu shall be taken. On my departing from Earth, he will make his journey. Around the planet Lamu, we shall make circuits. To Alalu, a sky chamber will be provided. To the planet Lamu, in it, he will be descended. Alone on a strange planet, in exile he shall be. His days to his last day, by count to him. By himself to count. Thus did Anu words of judgment utter. In solemnity, they were words indeed. By unanimity was the judgment upon Alalu imposed. In the presence of the heroes, it was announced. Let Nungal be my pilot to Nibiru. Therefrom chariots breaking heroes, bearing heroes again to earth to pilot. Let Anzu join for the journey of the descendant to Lamu take charge. So did Anu commandments utter. On the morrow, departing was readied. All who departed by boats to the chariot were ferried. A place for landings on firm soil you must prepare, Anu to Enlil was saying. How Lamu as a way station to utilize plans you should be making. Farewells there were, both joy and sorrow. Limping did Anu on the chariot embark. With his hands tied did Alalu the chariot enter. Then to the heavens the chariot soared up. The royal visit had ended. They around the moon made a circuit. Anu by the sight was enchanted. Toward red-hued Lamu they journeyed. Twice about it they encircled. Lower toward the strange planet they came. Mountains sky high and tears in the surface they noticed. That's funny. There's a big-ass gash on the side of Mars. I mean, so they're right here in this Sumerian tablet describing what it looks like. Where Ea's chariot had once landed, they observed, by lakeside it was located. Slowed by Lamu's net power, in the chariot the sky chamber they readied. Anzu, its pilot, then unexpected words to Anu was saying. With Alalu to the firm soil of Lamu I shall descend. With the sky chamber to the chariot return I wish not. With Alalu on the strange planet I shall stay. Until he dies I shall protect him. When he dies his innards poison, as befits a king I shall have him buried. As for me, I shall have made my name. Anzu, they will say, against all odds, to a king in exile a companion he was. He saw things by others unseen. On a strange planet, he faced unknowing things. Anzu, they will, to the end of times, shall say, like a hero has fallen. That's some honorable shit. There were tears in the eyes of Allah, though there was amazement in the heart of Anu. Your wish shall be honored to Anzu. Anu said, hereby let a promise be made to you by me. By my raised hand to you, I swear. On the next journey, a chariot by Lamu shall circuit, its skyship to you shall descend. If alive, it shall find you. The master, now mind you, this is 3,600 years on a planet that revolves very quickly. So it just gives you an idea of their life cycles. The master of Lamu you shall be proclaimed. When a way station on Lamu shall be established, its commander you shall be. Anzu bowed his head. So be it. To Anu he said. Into the sky chamber, Alalu and Anzu were ushered. With eagle's helmets and fish's suits they were provided. With food and tools they were supplied. From the circling chariot, the skyship departed. From the chariot, its descent was observed. Then from view it disappeared, and the chariot to Nibiru continued. For 9 shars was Alalu king on Nibiru. For 8 shars, Eridu he commanded. In the 9th char, to die in exile on Lamu was his fate. Now this is the account of the return of Anu to Nibiru and how Alalu on Lamu was buried. How Enlil on Earth the landing place built. On Nibiru there was for Anu a joyous welcome. Of what happened to the council and the princes, Anu gave account. Neither pity nor vengeance from them all he sought. To discuss the tasks ahead, he them instructed. To the assembled, a vision in scope he outlined. Way stations from the Nibiru to Earth to establish. All the sun's family in one kingdom to encompass. The first on Lamu to be fashioned. The moon for plants also to be considered. On the other planets, their encircling host stations set up, a chain of constant caravan of chariots to supply a safeguard. The gold from Earth without interruptions to Nibiru bring, perchance gold elsewhere to also find. The counselors and princes, the savants, Anu's plans considered. The salvation of Nibiru in the plans they all a promise saw. Savants and commanders, knowledge of the celestial gods perfected. To chariots, the skyships, a new kind. Rocket ships were added. Ooh, so they made new ships. Cool. Heroes for the task were selected. For the tasks, there was much learning. The plans to Enki and Enlil were beamed over. Preparations on Earth to hurry, they were told. On Earth, of what had happened and what to be done is required, there is much discussion. Enki, Alagar, to be of Eridu the overseer appointed, his own steps to the Abzu he directed, where to obtain gold from Earth's bowels he then determined. What heroes to task are needed, he calculated, what tools were required, he contemplated. An Earth splitter, with cleverness, Enki designed, again capitalized, on Nibiru that it be fashioned he requested. Therewith in the earth to make a gash, its innards reaching by way of tunnels. Again, all this is hyphenated and capitalized. That which crushes, he also designed on Nibiru for the Abzu to be fashioned. Of other matters, Nibiru's savants, he to contemplate asks. Of matters of health and well-being of the heroes, the needs he listed. To the heroes, earth quick circuits were upsetting. Earth's quick day and night cycles, dizziness were causing. The atmosphere, though was good, was in some things lacking, in others too abundant. Of the sameness of the food, the heroes were complaining. And Lil, the commander, by heat of the sun of Earth was afflicted. For coolness and shade he was longing. Yeah, it's freaking hotter on Earth. While in the Abzu, Enki preparations were making. And Lil in his skyship, the extent of the Eden was surveying. Of mountains and rivers he took account. Of valleys and plains he measured the measures he took. Where a landing place to establish, again capitalized, a place for the rocket ships he was seeking. And Lil, by the heat of the sun afflicted, for a place of coolness and shade was searching. To snow-covered mountains in the Eden's north side, he took a liking. The tallest trees he had ever saw grew there in a cedar forest. Lebanon, Turkey, Mount Ararat, those are mountains. There above the mountain valley with the power beams, the surface he flattened. So he flattened the damn surface. So he used beams to flatten the grounds. Interesting. The great stones from the hillside, the heroes quarried to in size to cut. And again, there's a abandoned quarry of stone that's still, it's actually in Lebanon, where there's a giant freaking stone that they started to quarry and then they stopped. And you can go online and you can look at this shit. It's crazy. Megalithic stones. To uphold the platform of skyships, they carried and emplaced them. Wow, so they're talking about how they actually started stacking these giant monolithic stones. Interesting. With satisfaction did Enlil the handiwork consider, a work beyond belief indeed it was, a structure of everlasting. True, because in Lebanon, the, I think it's the Temple of Olympus, I believe it was. I could be wrong. You might have to check on that. But it's definitely in Lebanon that the structure still stands. In a boat for himself on the crest of a mountain, he was his desire. Of the tall trees in the cedar forest, long beams were prepared. Of them, the construction of an abode for himself he decreed. The abode of the North Crest, he named it. On Nibiru, new celestial chariot of for soaring off was prepared. New kinds of rocket ships, sky ships, and that which Enki had designed, it was transporting. See, Enki's a smart son of a bitch. Even though Enlil basically said, I know more about rocket ships than you do, here we're using Enki's design. A fresh group of 50 Nibiru were, it was taking, chosen females among there were. By Nimna, exalted lady, they were commanded. In succor and healing, they were trained. So she's a doctor of some sort. Ninma, which means exalted lady, a daughter of Anu she was, a half-sister, not a full-sister, of Enki and Enlil she was. So she's a half-sister of both of them. In succor and healing, she was greatly learned. In the treating of ailments, she excelled. To the complaints of Earth, she gave much attention. A healing she was preparing. The course of prior chariots, a tablet of destinies recorded. Nungal, its pilots did follow. Unharmed, it reached the celestial god Lamu. It circled the planet, slowly down to its surface it descended. A faint beaming of group of heroes followed. Ninma was going with them. Beside a lakeshore, Anzu they found. From his helmet, the signals were beaming. So he had a tracking device on him. Anzu himself, without motion, prostrate, he lay dead. Ninma touched his face. To his heart, she gave attention. From her pouch, she took the pulsar, capitalized, upon Anzu's healing pulse, heart pulsing, she directed. From her pouch, she took out the emitter, its crystals, life-giving emissions on his body, she directed. 60 times did Ninma direct the pulsar, 60 times the emitter she directed. On the 60th time, Anzu, his eyes open, with his lips she motioned. Gently upon his face, Ninma poured water of life, his lips it was wetting. Gently into his mouth the food of life she placed, and then the miracle did happen. Anzu from the dead arose. Wow. So you have a reference of water. You have a reference of food. Sound kind of like, oh, I don't know, a baptism or a communion? Think about it. About Alalu, they did inquire of him. Of Alalu's death, Anzu told. He led them to a great rock from the plain heavenlyward protruding. There to them what had happened, what he was telling. Alalu, soon after the landing, from unremitting pain to scream began. From his mouth his innards he was spitting, in agony he peered over the wall. Thus was Anzu to them saying. He led them to a great rock, like a mountain from the plain heavenward rising. In the great rock, a cave I found, Alalu's corpse therein I hid. Its entrance with stones I covered. So was Anzu to them, saying, they follow him to the rock, the stones they removed, the cave they entered, inside of what Alalu remained they found. He who once on Nibiru a king was a pile of bones in a cave now lying. For the first time in our annals, a king not of Nibiru has died. Not on Nibiru he is buried, so did Ninmo say. Let him in peace for eternity rest, she was saying. They, the cave's entrance, again the stones were covered. The image of Alalu upon the great rock mountain with beams they carved. Huh. They showed him wearing an eagle's helmet, his face they made uncovered. Let the image of Alalu forever gaze toward Nibiru that he ruled. Now, let me stop right here. They're talking about the face on Mars, the mountain that looks like a face. I mean, maybe, you look at the old photos of it, it looks like a face. In, I don't know, it was 1970s or 80s when they took a face on Mars. And, you know, the new NASA photos, they don't look anything like it. And I don't know why, you know, NASA has, you know, 258 shades of black and white, and they only used 16 for those videos. But that's neither here nor there. But this is basically saying where that the face is on Mars is where they buried him. Toward the earth whose gold he discovered. So Ninma, exalted lady, in the name of her father, Anu, did declare, as for you, Anzu, to you, Anu, the king, his promise shall be keeping. 20 heroes with you here shall remain. The way station begin, build to begin. Rocket ships from earth and golden ore shall here deliver. Celestial chariots from here the gold to Nibiru shall then transport. Hundreds of heroes their abode on Lamu shall make. You, Anzu, shall be their commander. Thus did the great lady, in the name of her father, Anu, to Anzu, was saying, my life I owe to you, great lady, so was Anzu saying. My gratitude to Anu shall have no limits. From the planet Lamu, the chariot departed, toward Earth it journeyed. And that is the end of the fourth tablet. Heavy shit. That's interesting. Again, you may think this is all BS, which is totally fine, but that's some interesting shit. 5,000-year-old tablets, just saying. I'll get into the fifth tablet next time, but for this episode of the Freemasons Podcast special, I want to thank you again, and this is Bright Worship of George Mudry, and I'm out.